Revelation chapter 4. Let's begin tonight just with a basic review and a recap of some of the things. So let's start in Revelation chapter 1. I just want to point out a few things to you and bring you into what we have been saying. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice the harmony and the parallel. The word of God is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the children of Israel who saw the miracles of God and they heard the gospel message proclaimed to them. And listen to what the Hebrew writer writes. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Now that's a really interesting verse, because I grew up believing there was two plans of salvation. There was an Old Testament plan of salvation and a New Testament plan of salvation. And Hebrews chapter 11 makes it painfully obvious there has always been one plan of salvation, faith in the one true God. That's it. You either believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all that he has done for you, or you don't. And Abraham will be in heaven for the same reasons I will, because of the blood of the Lamb applied to him because of his faith. Let me finish the verse. But the message they heard was of no value to them. And he's referring to Israel. Was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Paul wrote, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you hear and you don't believe, the message is of no value to you. The writer of Hebrews is referring to those people in Israel who died in the wilderness. They did not come out of the wilderness because they did not believe. And because they did not believe, they did not go into the promised land. There is a blessing for us, but only if we believe. We also talked about the pattern of seven. This book begins by being addressed to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Let me give you a little Hebrew insight about the number seven and the actual Hebrew word for seven. It's Shiva. It is related to a Hebrew the Hebrew word Sava, and it means to be full, completed, or satisfied. Let me read a verse to you out of Revelation chapter 15. You don't need to turn there. Revelation 15 and verse 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, because with them God's wrath is completed. It is fulfilled. It is satisfied. You think of that when you see the number seven. And so we're introduced to seven churches. Why? Because these churches represent the churches of the last age. The seven spirits before his throne, the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars in the hand of Jesus that are the messengers of the churches, and of course the seven letters. I also want to remind you of the first words, and I hope this just is embedded in your thinking, that the first words of this revelation out of the mouth of Jesus are these words, do not be afraid. Faith, not fear, is what Jesus is looking for as a response to what we're reading and seeing. All right, so then we began to look at the seven letters to the seven churches. And apparently, I didn't do a very good job stating all three points clearly last night, so I want to do that. I summarized these seven letters simply by encapsulating what I think Jesus is saying to us in three simple sentences. I know you. I love you. I will reward you. I know you. I know exactly what's going on in your life, the good and the bad. I love you. Because I know what's going on in your life, I will discipline you, not because I hate you, but because I love you, because you are my children, and judgment begins with the house of God, and I will do whatever it takes to move you towards what I want you to be. All right? And finally, he says, I will reward you, and he gives us the seven rewards of the overcomer. We will be given the right to eat from the tree of life. We will be unhurt by the second death. We will be given hidden manna and a new name. That's very important. Names are very important in Scripture. They have great significance. And the Bible says that one of the rewards will be for us that when we come into the kingdom of God, that God will give us a new name. And it will be a name that characterizes us in His view. I mean, that is such a special, I've got to be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to a new name for a couple different reasons. First of all, I was in junior high when a little girl asked me what my initials were. And I said, well, Brent Richard Avery. B-R-A. Bra. And she said, well, your initials spell bra. And I said, no, they don't. That's B-R-A-W. Bra. She said, you go look it up. I went home and I said, Mom, how could you? And she said, well, we didn't think you'd ever notice. I said, what, you were hoping for an illiterate son? So I have reason to hope for a new name. Also, I have discovered that my name is very prophetic of my life. Brent Avery literally means a steep hill, and I can tell you, it's been uphill all the way. I am looking forward to a new name given to me by God. Maybe He'll call us holy or righteous or something special in God's eyes. That is an incredibly neat reward that God has planned for us. We will be given authority over nations in the morning star, dressed in white. Our name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we will be acknowledged by God. If you attend this church and the invitation is given, we invite you to come forward and to state your faith in Jesus. And in doing so, we ask you to repeat the confession that Peter made to Jesus in the area of Caesarea Philippi when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And one of the rewards that God promises us is that there will come a day in the kingdom of God when Jesus will stand before the throne of God and He will confess your name before the Father in the same way you stood and confessed His name before all men. And I want to tell you something. When it comes time for Jesus to speak my name into the heavenlies in front of the throngs of the redeemed, you better not be talking. Because I want to hear it, and I want everybody to hear it. I want to hear Him say, Brent, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And probably at that time, He'll give me my new name. Man, that is just going to be incredible. He says we'll be made a pillar in the temple of our God, and that we will be inscribed with the name of God. And then the one I made mention of last night, that we will literally sit on the throne with Jesus. It is not an arrogant God who invites you to sit with Him on the throne of the universe. Amen? This is not an egotistical God. This is a God who treats us as His children and welcomes us into His lap. This is a very, very beautiful thing. And see, are you finding out that Revelation isn't anything like you thought? It is full of the beauty and the heart and the majesty of God. It's not all about fearful things.